Blog Talk Radio.
The great philosopher Aristotle once said, "Happiness depends entirely upon ourselves." That pretty much sums up the philosophy of this network, the Perspective Power Radio Network. We exist to help celebrate the power that each of us owns, which is our own perspective. So today's program is all about being grateful for our own happiness. That works for me. In some cultures and some households, we're referring to this as the Great Super Day, where we've got a great, great game being played out on the gridiron. Here on the Perspective Power Radio Network, though, it is happiness depends upon ourselves. And we are so glad that you've tuned in. We're also sending out some thanks to award-winning artist David Martinka. You can find his music at redbellymusic.com and sunshadows.net. He is the very gracious and generous person who has supplied our theme song to our program and actually to all the shows that appear here on the network. So thank you so much, David, and thank you for tuning in. You're following us here on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/perspectivepower, and you're also finding our fan page on Facebook, which is facebook.com/perspectivepower. My name is Annette Rochelle Aben, and it is 12 noon Eastern here on the 7th day of February, 2016. All righty then, attitude of gratitude is what we're all about today. Giving gratitude for the fact that we really do have and own a lot more than we give ourselves credit for or we even understand. When I read that quote at the beginning of the program about how happiness depends entirely upon ourselves, this will strike a chord with a lot of people. Many people believe that unless somebody does something they want them to, the stores have the right sales, the car runs the way they want it to, the animal doesn't do what we don't want it to and does what we want it to, then we'll be happy. We put conditions on this all-important and seemingly all-elusive energy known as happiness. Because we put, and I saw this on a little Facebook poster thing, what they call them memes, M-E-M-E. It says, don't put your key to your happiness in someone else's pocket. And it's basically meaning the same thing as Aristotle's quote about how happiness depends entirely upon ourselves. If we're going to give permission to all these different circumstances and people for determining whether or not we're going to be happy, we will be miserable, cranky people 90% of the time. I will guarantee that, sign it and date it. Why? Why would I sign it and date it? No, that's not the why. The why is, why would we not be happy the majority of the time? Because most people are self-absorbed. Now, that's not a bad thing. And actually, if we're taking responsibility for who we are, our happiness, and where our lives are, we've got to be self-absorbed. We've got to know what makes us tick. We've got to know what our lives require spiritually, physically, mentally, and emotionally. We've got to be self-aware. I guess that would be probably the more accurate way of looking at it. And as such, we would then be self-absorbed to the point where we take the responsibility for the happiness. Now, I'm an independent person. I'm an independent author. I don't have a contract with a publishing house, and I don't have an agent. That's what being an independent publisher is. And I self-publish my books. So my happiness cannot depend on how many books I sell, whether or not I get good reviews, and or whether or not the people in my immediate sphere of influence, my family, my close friends, whether or not they thumbs up or not the books that I produce. And it isn't that I don't enjoy the support. Of course I do. Who wouldn't? You know, to know that somebody out there appreciates what you do, that's kind of nice. But it doesn't make what I do valid. My own happiness in regards to the work that I do, and I bring up the books because that's the work I do. That's part of the work I do. My own happiness regarding my books has to come from whether or not I enjoy the process and whether or not I enjoy the product. And if I don't enjoy the process, why am I doing it? And if I don't enjoy the product, why am I doing it? So my happiness depends on where the books are concerned and everything else, but we're talking about the books, depends entirely on me. So I've got a book that I just uploaded last night to the self-publishing world that I use, which is CreateSpace. I recommend it highly, createspace.com. And I'm not exactly thrilled with the book right now, but I had to put it together and upload it to go through and look at it because there's something that they have there called the reviewer. And you launch this reviewer, and you get to flip through the book as though it were sitting in front of you, and you were able to read it. And you can see all the colors, and the pages flow in the order in which you're going to want to see them. And it's all a lot different than putting it together on your word processing program and looking at it. So I've got my cover uploaded, I've got my interior uploaded, and I'm looking at that, and I'm not happy with it right now. Why? Because there's something about me needing to be in love with that and me needing to fall in love with that book that's going to make the difference. And I've got a couple of what's called beta readers that have actually looked at a few pages of the book. I just sent them to them and said, tell me what you think about this. Now, they happen to like it. One of them doesn't like the cover, and I totally get it. I understand why. Printed it out this morning, and I looked at it, and I'm So I called CreateSpace, and I asked the guy there to walk through it with me and look at it, and he said, you know, Annette, you're looking at that cover, and you're not seeing it the way I see it. Now, he meant from a technical standpoint, but he also meant from an appreciative standpoint, not seeing it the way he sees it. So now I'm going to back this up and connect it with the happiness depends upon ourselves. Nobody is going to see what you're doing the same way you do. I don't care who you are and what you're doing. I don't care if you're Bruce Springsteen and you've been rocking your socks off since you were a teenager, writing amazing music, connecting all these different parts of the entertainment world with each other. I mean, everybody from Manfred Mann to the Pointer Sisters have recorded Springsteen songs and had huge hits with them, right? But nobody's going to see Springsteen's work the same way he does. Not even the rest of the E Street Band, old and new, because there's a new band out. Go ahead and Google search that. You'll find out what I'm talking about. Nobody's going to appreciate Springsteen's work the way he does. And he can have 40,000 adoring fans at any one concert who are out there just pumping their fist and, yeah, we love you, and you go, Bruce, and this is great, and this is great, and this is great. And yet if he's not happy with it, if he doesn't find that connection, if he doesn't own that perspective of appreciation for his work, it won't matter what they say. To the converse, they're appreciating it, and he's appreciating it at the moment, while that's just that much more fabulous energy that really can't be the way he owns the joy of the moment. And I know that sounds kind of silly, but I can remember years ago, I was involved in a lot of theater, a lot of community theater and some professional theater. And these great reviews would come out about shows that I was connected to. Seriously, I mean, they were just, whether I was in them or not, whether I was producing them or I was in the show, we'd see these wonderful reviews printed in the papers. And somebody said to me at one of the cast parties, isn't this great? They really liked what we did. That means we did a good job. Well, then what happens when the reviews come out that aren't so encouraging, or we don't think they are? They're not so happy. They're not so positive. They tell people, oh, don't go see this show, or everybody was good except that character, this person, the director, the costumes, you know, fill in the blank. Did that mean the show wasn't good? No. It just meant that in that moment, the person who saw that show, for whatever reason and purpose, even though they may validate what they say with very logical, thought-provoking comments, they just didn't care for it. It doesn't mean that it took away from what the people did on stage, how maybe the other people in the audience saw it, how the director saw it, the backstage crew saw it, experienced it. Again, happiness depends on ourselves. If we're going to believe or put stock in what other people say, we are always going to put our happiness at the mercy of other people's opinions. Probably not the best thing to do for yourself. Now, let's say that you produce a line of clothing. And if people like it, they buy it. And they like it, they buy it, you make money. They don't like it, they don't buy it, you don't make money. I get that. So now we're at the whim of fashion. And the reason I brought up fashion is that is so fickle, so incredibly fickle, that everything that was wonderful and people liked 10 days ago can be totally out of vogue tomorrow morning, 11 days later. It's like, that didn't even last 2 weeks. Are you kidding me or what? But if the designer is true to themselves and appreciates what's going on with their own energy and owns that zen, owns that peace, owns that groundedness, it really isn't going to matter if what they create is out of fashion 10 days later, because they're not creating it for the expressed purpose of connecting it to their happiness, which means it doesn't depend on whether or not everybody runs out and buys it. And here's a wacky thing. If you look back at fashion over the course of time, over the span of the decades, or the millenniums, there are clothes and styles that go back so far. Our ancestors who might have dressed this way would never have thought that those days of heavy damask fabrics and brocades and lots of detail, sewing crystals onto clothing, putting a lot of undergarments on, like the big hoops, and then the petticoats over that, and the bloomers underneath that, and oh my gosh, the powdered wigs and the jewels that weigh a ton. That was just the fashion of the day. The funny thing is, there are people that live in this life and time, in this century, the 21st century, that think those outfits are kind of cool. But between the 1500s, the 1600s, the 1700s, 1800s, however long ago, the 1900s, and now, a lot of time has passed. A lot of water going under that bridge. So how, what, and where would we think that it wasn't okay to be happy looking at those clothes, wearing those clothes? I mean, they've been gone out of fashion forever. If you go walking into your local grocery store and you're wearing an outfit that somebody would have worn in the time of Marie Antoinette, do you think you're going to get looked at a little different? You bet you are, because you don't look the way everybody else does. You might even be spoken to a little strangely. You might even have people whip their cameras out. That camera's not in this day and age, and that's their phones. Take a picture of you. Next thing you know, you are the talk of the town all over social media. Are you still going to be happy that you wore your outfit? Are you still going to feel like a million billion bucks? Are you still going to be so absorbed in your own world? It doesn't matter what they think. I hope so. I really, really hope so. Because in order for you to enjoy that moment, you've got to have two things going for you. The first is, you don't care what other people think. And the second is, you don't need to make other people think the way you do. That's huge. Needing to make other people agree with you or think the way you do is totally unproductive for creating happiness. Think about that. If I create something and I need everybody else in the world to think the way I do, let's say I have a philosophy and I put it out there. My philosophy is evergreens are the only tree worth caring about. And I go and care for my evergreens. People say, what are you out there working with those evergreens for? And I say, they're the only tree worth caring about. Now, I don't know how many, you know, species of trees there are out there, if that's even the right word. I was going to say genus. I don't know how many different trees, varieties of trees there are out there. But I'm dedicated to those evergreens, by gosh. They're the only trees I care about. They're the only ones worth caring about and working for and saving. And being who I am for. It's one thing if that's my philosophy and that's how I live my life. It's another thing if I turn around and I work tirelessly to get everybody else to agree with me. I have now taken the focus off what makes me happy, which is caring for the evergreens, and putting it on a near impossible quest of getting everybody else to agree with me. I like it, and it's not hurting me or anybody else to do it. It doesn't matter whether everybody else supports me or not. It doesn't matter if 52,000 or 52 million other people don't support what I do. My happiness does not depend on whether or not these people think that my cause or my quest of supporting those evergreens is valid. It doesn't validate me whether they do or don't agree with me. It's the way they see things. To each our own. Our happiness depends upon ourselves. Abraham Lincoln once said, a person is about as happy as they make their minds up to be. Another good quote. Should have saved that for another show topic. I probably will bring it up again, so check your listings for that. If I make up my mind to be happy, my happiness depends on me and how I decide to see things, not on whether or not everybody else supports what I do. And I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to give us some food for thought. When you've got somebody that is so darn unhappy in their world or with the world that they can't be happy unless they can change everybody else to thinking the way they do, that's bullying. If you are going to force everybody to want to do what you do or condition your acceptance of them, that is a form of bullying. Not bullying to them in many ways, bullying to yourself. Because you're holding yourself and your happiness hostage. You're holding the ability to give freely hostage. And that is a form of bullying. Now, you might think that's a bit of a stretch, but I'd like you to look at how bullies, when we can sit them down and talk to them, and a lot of times that does happen. You know, they find a kid on the playground, and that kid is just wreaking havoc from one end of it to the other, just absolutely saying, you know, give me your lunch money or I'm going to beat you up. If it makes the kid happy to have some sort of control over what the other children or child that they're speaking to at that moment is doing or are doing, then that child who is in that control energy says, well, I'll be happy when I can do that. You sit that child down and talk to them. Look into their life. Chances are there's going to be something that they are not getting from another aspect of their life, so they're trying to control this part of their life to either make up for, fill in that part of the puzzle, that page, that spot on the coloring page, with how other things are going. So the interesting thought about it, the conclusion one can draw, is that that child isn't so much the bully, but they are resorting to bullying tactics to try and create happiness in their life. So if we take away the title of bully and just call that person what they are, they're a boy or a girl, they're a young boy or a young girl, an older boy or an older girl, an adult, a man, a woman. But they use a technique that would hold something hostage in order to gain their happiness. They are depending on something or someone else changing for their happiness. They're not owning it. They think they're owning it because they think they're in control. Like, oh, I've got these people, these energies, right where I want them. Therefore, I'm happy because they see things my way. They're doing what I want them to do. They're making their lives bend to my will and my rule. Therefore, I'm happy. Well, eventually, they're either going to run out of people to base that happiness on, and they're going to have to go look for others. Short-lived that happiness, eh? And or the light bulb will go on and they'll say, wait a minute, I'm letting myself be ruled and governed by what other people think and say and do. Hopefully, for their sake, not because it bothers me, but hopefully for their sake, they'll take a look at these words of Aristotle. And let's say, you know, happiness depends entirely upon myself. It's a game changer. It is an absolute game changer to own your own power in bringing happiness to your world. That is amazing. And you know what else it does? It frees us from having to be the karmic cop for the rest of the world to say, you know, you just ain't doing that right. How do you know they're not doing it right? How do you know? Well, sometimes we say that because all we ever do is hear the other person complain. You ever know somebody like that? Every time you talk to them, they're complaining about something. And we use that term a lot. We're venting. We're dumping. We're expunging. We're letting it out. We're confiding. But it's still complaining. That's very wearing on a relationship. I've seen husbands and wives that have been together a long time, like 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, and boom, they're getting divorced. And, of course, irreconcilable differences because there's nobody else in the picture. It's not one of them's having an affair or fallen in love with this, or one of them's decided that, you know, their sexual preference has changed or that it always was that way and now they just need to leave. But a lot of times the reason they stay together is because there's children and they want to stay together until things are at a certain level. And then they reach this point where they're thinking, all that person ever does is complain. I don't want to be around that person. And somebody will say, well, I trust you enough to share my innermost and intimates. Well, that's good. But it's wearing enough on a relationship to where the person on the receiving end of that thinks, well, why don't you ever want to share your happiness? Why don't you want to share your good times? You know, not everybody wants to be a toxic waste dump, right? So you watch those marriages split up. You watch friendships dissipate. You watch family members grow apart, siblings, parents and children, because they just can't be around that anymore. It isn't at the expense of the person that needs to vent or have a confidant or whatever the word of the day would be. But it's more that the person who is on the receiving end of that is taking responsibility for happiness and saying, you know what? Part of my happiness depends on looking at how many hours in a day I have and how I want to spend them. So they choose to segregate themselves, separate themselves from the thing that wants to hold them in somebody else's idea of happiness. So if your happiness is wanting to be there for people, so you listen to everything, or maybe you're a counselor, maybe you're a social worker, maybe you're a psychiatrist or psychologist is what I meant by counselor. Maybe you've got so much energy inside that you can literally transmute all those things that somebody says. There are people who live with chronic complainers their entire lives, and it doesn't faze them. I had an aunt and uncle, stayed married forever until each of them passed on. He was a chronic complainer, and she was such a solid woman of faith. She just supported his right to complain 20 ways to Sunday, but didn't own it personally. It didn't affect her because she didn't need him to stop complaining for her to be happy. Guess what I'm trying to say is, you've seen a lot of examples here in this conversation today or in this podcast. A lot of different examples on how and why some people look at happiness and how they see happiness, how they determine happiness, what they're willing to do for happiness, what they're not willing to do for happiness. The bottom line is, your happiness depends on you. What you do, what you think, what you feel, and how you act and react. This is where it is. If you are going to look at happiness as the responsibility of somebody else changing their lives in order for you to be comfortable, you will always lose in the long run. Because somebody who is willing to change something for you, 9 times out of 10, is going to need reciprocity. Well, if you want me to stop smoking, and I happen to live with smokers, what are you going to do for me? how, you know, I mean, I'm not saying they say that to me, but my point is, you know, a husband and wife, married forever and ever. When I was married, I was a smoker for the first so many years of my marriage. I quit just because I woke up one morning and said, hey, stop smoking. And after 40 years of smoking, 20-some years of smoking, I can't even remember right now, a long time, 21 years of smoking, I stopped smoking. Cold turkey, bam, 2 to 3 packs a day, gone. The funny thing is, I never smoked in front of my husband. Years after we got divorced, I brought something up about, oh, yeah, and you never knew I smoked. And he got very quiet, and he said, you smelled like an ashtray. You tasted like an ashtray. Your car stunk like an ashtray. Your clothes reeked of cigarette smoke. What would make you think I didn't know you smoked? But the funny thing was, he never said anything to me about it. Never said a word. Never. Kind of bizarre, huh? So I guess my thought process here is, I agree with Aristotle. Happiness depends entirely upon ourselves. I agree with Abraham Lincoln. People are about as happy as they make their minds up to be. Our perspective, how we see things, will determine whether or not that which we are experiencing brings us any kind of pleasure at all. That power is yours. You're born with it. Everybody is. Dogs are. Cats are. Orangutans are. Squirrels are. Trees are. Living, breathing energy. Animal, vegetable, or mineral is born with that power. To allow another circumstance, a person, anything, a thought, anything, to invalidate that power is something you do, something I do, which means we have still the power, whether or not we think somebody else is in control, we still have the power. That should be the most exciting thing that you've heard all day. That should be the thing that makes you sit up and go, yes, I'll have what she's having. That should be the thing that makes you look at the day, whether it's cloudy or sunny, whether you want it to be cloudy or sunny, whether your finances are where you want them, whether your weight is where you want it, whether your home life is what you want, whether your relationship life is what you want. The power of the perspective of where you are and what you're experiencing, that thought should be so electric that you walk through your day floating on a cloud of enchantment. Because if you don't like it, you can change it. You might not be able to change your circumstances immediately, but if you change your perspective on your circumstances, that is going to start things moving in a direction that will more than likely have you feel, thinking, acting, and experiencing happiness at greater rates and more effectively than you actually ever have in your entire life. It is your perspective, how you see things, what you're looking at, how you're processing it, your expectations. I always say drop the expectations, keep the standards high. And you will find that your happiness is rocking. It is rolling. It's contagious. It's amazing. It's phenomenal. It is that power that nobody else can ever take away because you don't give it to anybody else. All you do is own it. You create your world. You find that you are your own little philosopher there, your own little Aristotle self, and that your happiness truly, truly does depend upon you. Alrighty then. I'm loving it. I'm also loving the fact that David Martinka gave us this great theme song. Find him at redbellymusic.com and sunshadows.net. You can find me at AnnetteRochelleAben.wordpress.com. You can also find me on Amazon. I've got an Author Central page there with lots of great things to look at. And you can also find us, me and David, live here every Sunday at 12 p.m. Eastern on the Perspective Power Radio Network.